Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. What's left of it, at least. Text line, if you still want to get in, 251-343-0106. We appreciate the feedback, as always. Joining us now, he is our returning champion, far, far away in North Carolina, in mid-eastern-ish North Carolina. But State Senator Chris Elliott joining us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. I hope you had a great great Christmas, and the kids had a good Christmas. Ready for the new year?
I am ready for the new year, too. I'm ready for school to start back. How's that?
Fair enough.
We got a 3-year-old. I hear he's here at the Fairhope Bureau. He is out in the living room area yelling at our babysitter. So anyway, that in case it bleeds through, that's what's going on. Senator, you've been away a little bit. Something we've been talking about though here, and there was an AL.com story. And it was a hit piece essentially against the voters of the state about a Trump administration and how Alabamians voted against their own self-interest. And I think it was kind of built on 4 stupid points: that Trump had no plan to expand Medicaid. He was going to engage in mass deportations, which were going to affect the economy. And the other one was the tariffs. The tariffs were bad, and we found out here. I stumbled upon this, and I wanted to bounce it off of you. The CEO of Mazda telling the Detroit Free Press, "Well, you know, this isn't ideal with these tariffs, but we're ready to go in the event that tariffs are enacted. We could just expand our production in Alabama." And you hear stuff like that. Isn't that the point? Like, it's not just to like put tariffs on for the sake of tariffs or raise revenue for some stupid government program, but it's to kind of put the thumb on the scale of the economy in favor of American workers.
Well, that's exactly the point. And you know, You mentioned I'm in North Carolina, and I drove through, you know, town this morning and looked at what was once a thriving textile industry that was just decimated by NAFTA and the offshoring of all of those jobs. And we see that, of course, in Alabama as well. You know, these tariffs are designed not to be punitive to China or to other countries, but rather to be supportive of American jobs and American industry. And if we are building Mazdas in Alabama and Toyotas in Alabama, Mercedes in Alabama, and Airbus airplanes in Alabama and Austal ships, that's a good thing. And keeping those jobs here in the United States is exactly why the people of Alabama voted overwhelmingly for the president. I'm glad that they did. And I'm ready. I am ready for the new year and ready to get some of this stuff enacted and going.
Well, and you've probably been shielded from the stupidity of social media right now, but there's like a big debate right now between the sort of tech component of the incoming administration. We'll say just for Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy talking about the merits and the all the virtues of the H-1B visa program versus the sort of the, I don't know, rabble-rousing populist MAGA guys, or at least people who play the role on social media for clicks and hits and engagements, that you know, we can't, it's off balance, you're bringing in foreign workers, you need to put American workers ahead of these foreign workers. Look, I think that there's probably some abuses here. You hear about them all the time, where big corporations is looking to lower that labor cost are bringing in foreign workers. And in some cases, Disney, where a few years ago, they hired a bunch of replacements, overseas replacements, to come in on an H-1B visa and made the employees they laid off train them and told them if they didn't train them, they wouldn't get their severance package. We can't have a system like that, right, that works against the interest of the American people, regardless of their political stripes, their attitudes, their maturity levels. it's got to be Americans first, right?
Well, that's President Trump's agenda, and there's no question about that. I mean, it is making America great again. It is putting America first, and I think he's going to act on that. I mean, look, for once we've got a president who's going to do what he said he was going to do, and I feel very confident in that. Look, the H-1B program has got its place. Are there abuses of it? Yes. Should we be vigilant against those? Of course. There are instances where there's specific skill sets that we need, and that we can't find, somebody here to do it. That's fine. I think what you will see, though, is as those visas get harder to get, you will see more people trained in those types of, those types of industries and they'll be ready to go. But I think if we focus on America first, if we implement the president's immigration strategy, and we tighten down on illegal immigration and tighten down on visas, you will see an economic boom in this country that we have not seen in decades.
And I guess it's like kind of more an ideological point here. Look, I understand trying to be pro-business and pro-jobs and friendly as possible, but you can't just be like shareholder friendly necessarily, trying to help lower labor costs for businesses. And you talk about being where you are. And I always talk about this story. I've already told it this morning about Monroeville, Alabama, and how these trade deals, look, I understand this. The economics are going to prevail in the end, that, the cheap labor, they will figure it out. And businesses, they're not immoral. They're not moral, just amoral. They have a direction they're going to go, a gravitational pull, if you will. But the federal government, state government, local government, at all these levels does not need to pave the way for them to make it to where it especially when it ultimately harms the Americans, in big numbers.
Well, you're right about that. I mean, at the end of the day, deals like NAFTA were bad for American businesses in the long run. And they certainly were bad for medium and small businesses. When you see towns decimated by the movement of entire industries out of this country, and then all of the trickle-down businesses that left as well. The small town, jewelry stores and corner markets and gas stations and everything that supported those local industries, just went away almost overnight. And while that may have been something that was, as you pointed, put it, shareholder friendly, yeah, but at what cost? You decimated small town America. You decimated small businesses. And I think that's what's so refreshing about what President Trump brings, not only to politics in America, but frankly to the Republican Party. Guys, we need to focus on, the folks that are out there earning a living, making their way and producing something. And that needs to be the focus. That's the backbone of America. Those small businesses are what we need to be friendly towards, not just the big corporations. And so I see a sea change in the Republican Party focusing, for the first time in frankly a long time, really laser focus on middle class America and small businesses that are the fabric of what makes this country great.
Well, here's the other thing, though, and this is like what, we can't just, I do think there's a balance here, right? I do think you need some of this in our economy to get it operating at its max potential. You do need workers, H-1B workers, or you do need trade deals or whatever, but it just seems like the balance is way, way out of whack. And, Democrats are players here in this too, but the way they get around that, they give a nod to the labor unions or whatever. But I mean, the labor unions aren't what they used to be. Okay. It's just how many people in Alabama are actually in a union. And then I would say a small percentage. So it's stuff like that though, that, we got to find that right balance. I still think we haven't achieved the right balance for the best of the American economy.
I don't think so either, but I think President Trump coming in is going to shake things up a bit, and there may be some temporary pain as we readjust to what where our focus needs to be, but that we'll find that balance. And listen, he may overshoot the mark initially. And I'm happy to endure a little bit of uncomfort. You know, maybe my jeans cost $10 more than, you know, than they did, you know, being sewn in Vietnam or wherever. So be it. You know, let's get American businesses back up and running. Let's get Alabamians, you know, working at good, you know, high paid jobs that they can support a family on. Let's get our labor participation rate up and have, you know, better jobs for Alabamians. That's a good thing. We can support ourselves and hold our heads high, and we can be proud of that. I think the globalism experiment, if you will, has certainly, you know, proven to have serious problems and negative effects on our economy overall. And to the extent that there's some pain in an overcorrection, I'm happy to see where this, you know, where this washes out and endure that short-term pain to make America strong again.
Well, it's just like everything, you know, the pendulum swings back and forth and it's trying to find like that sweet spot. It never quite gets there and rest, but you know, right now, I mean, the hands of, you know, the hands of God pulled it in one direction, and now that pendulum just said the hell with that, and it's broke free, and it's trying to get back in the other way. And you're right, it's going to seem like an over correction here. But back to the whole discussion about Trump coming into, I mean, like the presidency, these tariffs. I know that like the free marketeers out there that they've never seen a situation where they thought that tariffs were an appropriate response to anything. But look, I just think in this, if we want a global economy and we want to have a nation with its own self-interest served, you have to be open to the possibility now, okay? Maybe at one time you could get away with, you know, just let the free market ride, but we can't have a rule book for the United States and a rule book for China, and a rule book for, we can't always take the high ground. We have to play by the same rules that everybody else is playing under. And I think that's just, you know, you got to kind of be in it for yourself to some degree.
Well, you do. And listen, they protect their markets. Make no mistake about it. They're not free market economies. We're not using the same tools in the United States that they're using to protect their economies. And we should. I mean, look, Jeff, when I look at a guy standing there by his pickup truck wearing his blue jeans, and the pickup truck's made in Mexico and the blue jeans are made in Vietnam, we've got a problem. That's not what America's supposed to be. And we need to get back to making things here. You know, Americans need to get back to making things here and the pride that comes along with that. And I think that if we can get there and we can get there quickly, yes, there'll be some short-term pain, but it will be something that Americans can be proud of again. This NAFTA globalist experiment has failed, and it has failed Americans. And while the free marketeers may say it's better to load up a 40-foot shipping container full of, you know, blue jeans made in Vietnam and ship them over here because they cost $10 less a pair, I disagree with that. And I think most Alabamians and most Americans would disagree as well.
It's sort of basic economics. You have to pay the value of something or pay what it's worth. And we were just artificially deflating or artificially reducing cost. And sometimes that savings is passed along to the consumer, but not always. Would you want to pay $10 for a head of lettuce? Well, that's what a head of lettuce costs, and it's what it costs, and you know, they'll figure out a way to innovate and bring that cost down. But the problem is you just can't say, because there's a trickle up effect here. If you bring in all this illegal immigrant labor and they're the ones who are doing the work, harvesting the crop, well, and you're not paying the value of that labor. Well, then the other jobs in that local market are not going to pay as much either because they're not having to compete with these farming jobs or whatever. And it's sort of, you know, it starts at the bottom, it works its way up, but it has a way of depressing wages.
No question about it. And listen, our food, at least at the farmer's level, you know, what they're selling commodities for hasn't changed in decades. Their input costs have gone through the roof. But our farmers could stand to make a whole lot more money off of what they're producing than what we're seeing right now. They're competing internationally. with Brazil and Australia. That's what's keeping our commodity prices as low as they are. That's what's causing, you know, difficulty for our farmers, that along with increased input costs. But they can't sell their product for more because they're competing internationally. And that's just something we're going to have to figure out how to deal with on a national level, or we're going to lose it.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this, kind of unrelated to anything state, but this Panama Canal and these overtures from Trump about, hey, maybe we need to renegotiate that 1978 deal. Look, shipping's a big part of the economy down here, apparently, so I'm told. I think the Panama Canal plays into it. I think it impacts us. The late James Allen, a United States senator from Etowah County, fought the Carter administration on this deal. Was unsuccessful, obviously. What do you think? I think Trump has to take he just has to. It's in our interest to take a strong stand on the Panama Canal.
You just used the word, and that's strong. And I'm so excited about, you know, being proud of America again, being proud of our strength in the world. And listen, I think the Carter capitulation on the Panama Canal was bad for America. It wouldn't be there but for us. And at the end of the day, I think if we look at renegotiating the deal, and again, it's a negotiation. I'm not talking about taking it by force or anything. Certainly not. But renegotiating the deal, yeah, I think that's probably something we ought to look into. Be for Americans, for American business, and be strong. It's okay to be strong. It's okay to be assertive once again, and I'm excited about what's coming for the next 4 years.
Well, we'll have to leave it there, Senator. We're a little long here, but I always appreciate your time, and we'll do this again next week.
Thanks so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.